Hello, welcome to Spotlight, local art in the light of early summer.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we talk to the Russian players and hear about their trip to Saltburn for the one-act Winners Festival. Hear about the first production of new theatre group Sullen and speak to the director of the first ever Manx language opera, Kalyak, due to be premiered later this year. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create or would really like to, yes, put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, opera, yes, got to say that, literature, ceramics, haven't had much literature of late, have we? Sculpture, all that, drag, film, mime, social media, calligraphy, again, not much on that. Drop me a line though, if you're a calligrapher, or indeed a sculptor and doing something or planning something. Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com or spotlight@manxradio.com. It'd be lovely to hear from you. We are getting a few more emails, which is nice, so why not join in? Increase that number. Let me know what's going on and let's get you onto the show. The well-known theatre group Russian Players on something of a roll at the moment, as we were talking about last week. We heard about their latest production, Visitors, which raised money for the Southern Befrienders, and it sounded great stuff as well. But before that, they'd been off the island on a road trip to attend an all-winners festival following their success in this year's one-act play festival at the Erin Arts Centre, with their production Blood of the Lamb. Russian chair Ron Beswick and director Sarah Lockyer told me more.
Yes, we headed over to Saltburn and we got a lovely welcome. I should also mention that we are very grateful to the Arts Council who funded it, and also Steam Packet and MADFA who enabled us to go on a road trip over to Teesside. And yes, we performed Blood of the Lamb at the Saltburn Community Theatre. And we were delighted to that the two cast members, Robin Hughes and Ailsa Harrop, they won joint Best Actress. So it was a great result for them, and they very much deserved it. They gave a fantastic performance. But no, it was a great experience. We couldn't have done it without Ron, who loaded up all the scenery and assembled it once we got over there. We also really enjoyed seeing the other plays that were taking part, the other groups. Very, very good atmosphere, very generous with each other, you know, really appreciating all of the different plays that were put on, and a lovely adjudicator who gave us great feedback and some things to think about.
And it's not always that easy, Ron, is it, when you're sort of taking a set from one theatre and sort of dropping it into another theatre? It doesn't always just necessarily fit.
It doesn't always necessarily fit, but actually the organisers of the festival were very good in that they gave us a video preview of the stage. So with a bit of careful thinking and spending a lot of time thinking about how we were going to do it, it worked out very well, actually. The only difficulty was it was quite a narrow entrance to the theatre, and trying to manoeuvre two 8-foot high doors in was quite an experience,
yeah.
But it worked out very well. And the staff there were very helpful.
And people don't often think about this, and just the practicalities of sometimes of putting on a production can be, well, exactly as you say, just you get there and you think, my Lord, well, how are we going to do this?
We were originally just going to hire a transit van and take it across, but then we realised a transit van only seats three people across the front, and there's four of us. So we ended up hiring from Athol, give them a plug, and we hired a 9-seater minibus, which housed us all and housed the set as well, and all the luggage. And some of our actresses took a fair amount of luggage with them for a 3-day trip.
Well, say no more, say no more. Pretty high standard when you get up to Saltburn, you go on to this next level.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, because obviously these are winning groups from the different parts of the north of England, and there were some terrific play, quite a lot of new works that they had written themselves, and yes, the winning play, which was by the Red Onion Group, from Cheshire, was a very strong, very serious play, actually, and a lot of them were tackling quite hard-hitting subjects. There was a Holocaust one, there was one set on death row in the States, and there was this particular play was about abuse. So yes, I mean, I think we spoke about this before, that the one acts give you the chance to take on some challenging material that perhaps you wouldn't normally do in the normal run of your productions during the year. So but I think the adjudicator really recognised that, you know, these are challenging pieces, but people do really rise to that challenge. And yeah, we came away with some, yeah, it was a thoughtful, you know, thought-provoking festival, let's put it like that.
And is that it now for Blood of the Lamb? Is that now sort
no,
of, or are you intending?
No, we still have another chance. This was the All England Theatre Festival, but there is also the NIDFA Festival, which is the National Drama Festivals Association. That's right. We have been put forward to take part in their finals, which will be held in Bromsgrove at the end of July, and we're waiting to hear whether we have made it. They select from winning plays around the nation, so we hope we will be able to take Blood of the Lamb on another road trip soon.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that. Keep us informed to see how that goes.
Thank you.
Another play coming up we'll come to in just a moment. Before we move on, though, Miss Fazard was one we were talking about last time as well, and that was a great success, and again, raising really good money.
Yeah, we had... it was only a one-night stand for Miss Fazard by Alan Bennett, and Carry On by... can't remember her name now.
Jenny Webb.
It was well received, and we managed to raise £550 for Alzheimer's Isle of Man.
Brilliant.
Which was fantastic, and Alzheimer's were very pleased.
Well done to them. I can tell you, having been across to the Winners' Festivals on a few occasions after winning the One Act Festival over here, that's the way it works, there are several options, and I always get confused about which one is which, or where you can go after winning the One Act Festival on the Isle of Man. But you then go on to a UK-wide scheme where you're going in with people who have been winning other one-act festivals in other parts of the British Isles. So it's pretty good stuff. And I can tell you, the standard really does ramp up. There's some very serious actors there. Just goes to show again the standard of acting we enjoy here on the Isle of Man in our amateur scene, as usual on the island, punching well above our weight. We look forward to hearing how they get on if they are chosen to appear in the National Drama Festivals Association finals that Sarah was mentioning in July.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
From a theatre group who have been around for decades, longer, to one which was set up, well, earlier this year, I think, Solon, or Salt, is based in the west of the island. Peel Centenary Centre is their base, and their first ever production, Tales from the Cellar, due to be performed at the Peel Centenary Centre, the PCC, on the 22nd of this month, with the intriguing tagline, "Raise a glass and listen to the old stories as we wait for the tide." Promises to be a collection of story, song, music, drama. To find out more, I headed out west.
I'm Aileen Clegg, and I'm one of the directors of Solon Theatre Group. So it's our first event that we've organised since forming in January, and it's going to be, it's kind of a variety show, but we've themed it so that it's like an immersive event.
Oh. So does this mean audience participation or?
A little, yes, yeah. So when we got lots of people together to collaborate on it, and when people showed me their contributions, a kind of theme emerged that lots of them were sort of 19th century based, lots of them were nautical, lots of them were to do with the west of the island. And so I've written a kind of narration to pull it all together, that we've got two people waiting in a smuggler's cellar waiting for the tide to turn, and they're telling each other stories and singing songs to pass the time as they wait for it. And when the audience arrive and show their tickets, they'll first of all go into a little shebeen in the Athol room where there'll be a session going, and they'll get their special rum-themed drink.
I'm liking it. Is this the glass of jock?
This is the jock, yeah.
And shebeen, is that a...
It's like an Irish sort of like illegal bar type thing with music going on, sort of underground feel to it.
Great. Loving it, loving it. So is it sort of... is it sort of the one piece, or is it, as you say, is it sort of a number of sort of vignettes stuck together, as it were?
Yeah, it's a number of things. So I've written a song to start it off. Because the name of our group, Solon, means salt in Manx Gaelic, I wanted to incorporate the Manx folktale, The Wizard's Palace, where salt has an integral role. So I've written a song that sort of tells that story. So that's one of the items. We've got a song that, or a tune that Rob Middleton has written with a story about a sea serpent off an island in Scotland. Annie Kizik has written a new Manx dialect play based on a story that I think Fred Palmer told her on Spit Corner or something.
Marvellous.
She could possibly tell you more about that.
I will have to ask her.
Yes. And then we've got T.E. Brown has never seen or heard before. We've got a sing-along with choice songs from the Manx National Songbook led by a reincarnated Florrie Ford.
Wow.
And some Manx Gaelic songs of the sea from Cuirdean Cuijach.
Fantastic. And so the evening, will it all be in Manx, or some in English, some in Manx, or all in English? How does that work?
It's almost all in English, this one. Although there's quite a few Manx speakers in the group. For our first event, I think it's only Cuirdean Cuijach songs that'll be in Manx Gaelic. But later on in the year, I'll be premiering my Manx Gaelic folk musical.
Loving it.
Which will be all be in Manx.
Marvellous. We look forward to that. Solon itself, as you say, started earlier in the year, and the idea was to celebrate Manx culture and history and sort of bring people together from all different artistic backgrounds.
Well, the idea was to sort of have a forum for people who were making things but weren't necessarily putting them on, or people who wanted to act but weren't in a group already and were living in the West. And the Centenary Centre have been very kind to let us use it as our home,
so
as our base.
Yeah, base.
So
yeah.
I tried to kind of interest people in working together on some new material, really.
Brilliant. So this is the sort of premiere for Solon?
Yeah. So this is the first thing we've come up with.
Excellent. We look forward to it. Sounds good. It sounds like there's a bit for everyone, really. You know, a bit of drama, a bit of singing, a glass of jock. I mean, what's not to like?
I hope so. And you can participate as little or as much as you want. So if you want to come dressed up in 19th century nautical clothes, please do. If you play an instrument and you want to come and play in the session at the start, do bring your instrument. But equally, you can just listen.
Marvellous. And the all important thing then, 22nd of May at the Peel Centenary Centre. Tickets via the website?
Tickets are through the Centenary Centre website for £15 for a ticket.
Aileen mentioned Annie's play there, and this is what Annie herself has to say about her play.
Well, it's always been there in the back of my mind that it's a thing that people like me should do, seeing there's a big tradition of people involved in the Manx language as well, being involved in Manx dialect plays. So my youth was spent being dragged into plays written by assorted people. But this particular play, it came from reading a story I read in one of Fred Palmer's old Peel City Guardian articles. It was put in a book, and it was supposedly taken, this is a sort of thread of the story, taken from some old fellas who were overheard having a talk on Spit Corner. And I thought, right, OK, it's got to be a Peel play. I won't tell you the plot, obviously that would give it away a bit, but I took the structure, the idea from this story, but I created the characters and just ran with it in my own way. I wondered if I had enough knowledge of the Manx English from that time, but then I thought, well, whatever you do, it is as it is. But I used a lot of phrases and things I've heard from people in my own family and that I knew. I had quite a bit of fun dipping through Sophia Morrison's contributions to the Anglo-Manx dialect among other people, and I had fun. I had fun with the words, so it got there in the end.
Sounds good fun, doesn't it? Sadly, I'm off the island, won't be able to check it out. But I do look forward to future Solon productions. All proceeds from the evening going to the Centenary Centre. You can, of course, book online. Staying with the Manx theme, but we're heading to the world of opera. We've been hearing about the first ever Manx language opera here on Spotlight for some time, Cailleac, Crone, I think it translates as. You might have been following composer Matthew Warren on social media as he shares the creative process, and he also has been answering questions from members of the public on how he is managing to put it all together. Well, I believe all the composing and writing is now done. It's now down to fine-tuning, tweaking, etc., polishing off any rough edges that might be perceived. The man who's been charged with directing the piece is well-known local director and actor himself, of course, David Dawson. And when he came in with Matthew to the Spotlight Studio a week or two back, I asked if he'd ever directed opera before.
No, and that's a real joy in why I really wanted to kind of get a hold of the piece, to be honest. When Matthew approached me, I don't think I thought twice. It's obviously something that's been in my life because I've been involved with the live screenings from the Royal Opera House for more than a decade now. So I've had a lot more opera in my life recently than I ever had before. And it was a case of, I think there's a few things that struck me. One was, this is brilliant storytelling of our heritage, of our, you know, it's our mythology in a sense. It's there, and that really caught me, because we know, you know, with theatre, with opera, with ballet, whatever, it is storytelling. That's what we're about, and we are storytelling people. So to get a new story, in a sense, in terms of one that we haven't really seen out in the public, to be able to kind of get creative with that, and take story and go, right, this is what we're going to do with it. It's brilliant. It's what every director would probably want to get their hands on. So we had a great discussion. We started from the very beginning was, well, where is this going to be held? You know, is this a Gaiety show? Is this an Erin Arts Centre, a King's Court Theatre setting? Is this an outside setting? And we played around and toyed with that, and actually the cathedral became the ideal location. It does mean it is slightly more limited in terms of audience size that we could have, but it allowed us to be so creative with how we stage this. What's inspiring is Matthew is one, so talented. He really is so talented. And when he came to me and talked about the ideas of what potentially this could become, whether we look at taking this on tour around the UK and things like that, it made us able to kind of go, right, okay, we need a location where we can do something that can be transportable, to look at moving into different venues. But also the cathedral is still quite a new venue in terms of performances, certainly plays or theatre or opera. And it really meant we could do something that has never been seen before, never been done before. And the island is very famous for its kind of proscenium art shows, and we are doing something very different this time. And I don't want to give too much away, but those who, when you go to buy your ticket, you will notice and see how we are doing it. But it's going to be personal. And I think with opera, I think there's maybe a feeling that opera is for the elite. I think that still is a niggle of a feeling with people. And if you haven't been to it, maybe people feel put off. But we will be making sure that you can follow the story. Even though it's in Manx being sung, there will be the ability to follow what's going on. You know, that has to come across through the performers, but also we will have it there in front of them. And it's something that I think people forget, that they know the music of these famous operas, you know, without even knowing they know it's in an opera. And I think you can just enjoy, you can be there, and you can, you know, just like the old silent movies, you can follow a story, even if you have no other information, no other sound and things with it. And whereas with opera, you're just layering this beautiful music over the top. So I know that even though it may be some people's first time, this could be a really good option for them to come and experience opera for the first time. It's not overly long, and also it's great to have, as I say, that local connection of that storytelling, that our mythology of our culture mixed in there. It's joyous. You know, I did not know where the story of Hunt the Wren came from. I used to think, why are we going around harming this beautiful little bird? What's that about? I don't understand. And then, you know, I met with Matthew, and Matthew told me, and it was just, wow, you know, what a story. Why that, you know, now it makes sense. Now I understand. And yeah, it's been great to just be there and just get my teeth into something that is so new, and allows this, you know, there really was no creative boundaries at that point. We literally put everything on the table and we can do this and we can do this. And, you know, we've got an amazing team behind us. You know, to have you know, a costume designer who's worked on the likes of the Games of Thrones and things, you know, it's unheard of. You know, to be working with professional opera singers, professional ballerina, you know, we're talking about things where we don't usually get. We have amazing talent on this island, but we're able to just elevate it even more now, and that's something quite special. So, yeah, it's great.
So a different approach, do you think, needed from you as director compared to, say, doing a musical?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. It's interesting. I was saying before, actually, to Matthew, my creative style is I visualize it in my head. It's all kind of there in weird, disjointed ways in my head as an image. And with this, I suppose, you know, we're getting across the relationships, the emotions. That's the first thing. It's the story, who these people are, what is happening to them. That's the bread and butter of theatre for me. It's the relationships and how we connect to people and have an audience connect to a moment, an emotion, you know, what somebody's feeling. So I can do that. But then now we get the added bonus of, you know, I can then hear the music and then we can start playing around with hitting those moments in the music. Whereas that doesn't really, you know, musicals are very different. You don't hit the moments the same as you do with an opera. You know, it's very much the smiles and the jazz hands in musical theatre most of the time. The moments where you connect musically aren't usually your big numbers. They're more your solo moments and things. So I can still chip into that, but it's lovely to be able to play with a different style and really go with the beautiful moments in the music of the shape of it and allow that then to portray into the characters and allow the music, the emotion of the music, I suppose, portray into them as well. You know, that's something that's very new, but also it's also so connected to what we do in theatre. So it's not that much of a reach for me in that sense. It's just painting with a different brush. And that's really nice. It's really, you know, freeing to be able to do something slightly different. You know, we've just done Guys and Dolls, a very golden age classic musical theatre number. It was, in a sense, a paint by numbers. You know what you're doing with a golden age theatre piece like that. Before that was Chicago, a little bit more creative and things, but this is just so different. And that's what we want. We want people to come and just allow the emotion to just draw them into it and let them just ride those waves and follow that story. And as I say, I don't think it could have been written more beautifully. I think that what Matthew's doing is incredible. So I can't wait for people to see it.
And are you hoping, Matthew, as Dave said, that it sort of, yeah, I suppose opera still has that slight elitist feeling amongst some people? I think, oh, no, it's not for me. Are you hoping this would be for everyone?
Very much so, yeah. So I think what I'm keen for people to kind of understand about the approach we're taking is that opera is a unique way to experience the language. And as David was saying, there's some big differences between how you might write for a musical and how you might write for an opera. In an opera, you're very much led by the language. The language is often very free, more like a free-form poem or a play script. And that means that you actually write the music based on the whole cadence of this language, rather than try to fit it into verses and choruses and these kind of structures. And so actually the music is far more intimately related to the language and so to the heritage of the Isle of Man than you'll get to hear in other places, which is really exciting, because it is really makes it a unique opportunity to hear the Manx language in a radically different way. And obviously as part of Blaen na Gaeilge, the year of the Manx language, we're really excited that there's so much excitement and enthusiasm behind engaging with the Manx language in different ways, from drone shows to hopefully operas. Then hopefully that will give people a way into the performance, but also to come and just experience it like you would any other production. Come and just have a genuine emotional reaction to it. There's no pretense. You're not going to be expected to do anything or have opinions that you don't have. Just come, experience, and see what you think.
Brilliant. Well, here we are now chatting towards the end of April. What is the timeline going forward then towards what will be the world premiere?
Yeah, so one thing we are about to launch, which I'd like to share with you, is we're launching a call for scores for composers on the Isle of Man to submit pieces for string quartet. So we're bringing over a fantastic professional string quartet to perform this premiere, and that presents a really unique opportunity for people writing music, creating music here to have their work performed. And so we're going to be programming a set of pieces by Isle of Man composers for string quartet as part of the performance. So as we speak, in the next week or so, we're going to be launching that. And when people are listening, you can go to any of the social media or the website to find out a bit more about that if you're interested in writing for that or submitting something to that really rare opportunity here on the island. After that, we're going to be launching tickets in May, and we will be bringing more updates about the rehearsal process as we start doing that during June, July, August. And then we have the premiere in September.
And what a great opportunity for local composers to get involved in this groundbreaking evening, to have their work performed by the talent top-class string quartet. This will form the first part of the evening, of course. It won't be in the actual opera itself. Matthew's composed the music for that. But it will make up a fantastic evening with these pieces being performed, unique Manx pieces performed by the Talon Quartet, and then the first ever Manx language opera, Kaliak, performed in the second half of the evening at the Peel Cathedral. Very atmospheric. It should be a great night. Find details on how to apply for that, write a score and possibly get your music performed on Matthew's website. The deadline to get the scores in there is the 1st of July. So you have got time if you don't hang around. Tickets to the evening, and I say it sounds like a great night. And of course, a world first are now available. The ticket source is live. All the W's, www.ticketsource.com/Kaliak, and that's C-A-I-L-L-A-G-H. That's about it for this week. Back next week, when we'll be hearing about this summer's Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra summer concert, amongst other joys. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hey, Moo.